Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Bill. Let's get that out the way. So, good morning, folks. Lovely to see you. Happy New Year. Well done, as Bill says, for making it in. It's kind of a duvet day, to be honest, today. But you're here, and fair play. That's amazing. So for those who don't know, my name is Matt Gould. I'm the community leader here in the Carrick Centre. My day job is being here during the week. And I'm also part of the team that leads Sunday AM. So, by the way, did anyone cycle here today? Stick your hands up if anyone cycled. Okay, this is really bad. I'm literally the only one who cycled in. I'll take the round of applause. Thank you. That slightly smug, warm glow makes up for my soaking wet feet. So that's we'll go with that. Good. So, folks, we're starting our series for the spring here in Sunday AM next week. We're going back into Romans, and we're doing the second half of that. And the whole kind of series focus is the gospel in community. So that's next week. Today, the first Sunday of the new year, it seems like a great time to plug ourselves back into the transformative power of God's word, his spirit, his body on earth, that's the worldwide church, and the future hope of his return. And my text this morning is one verse. I'd say we can handle that this morning. It is a real banger of a verse. By the way, we don't have adventurers today, but there are some toys at the back and kind of coloring sheets and so on. So if you're a child or you've a child at heart and you want to color, that's absolutely fine. Do that. Okay, so this is Isaiah 43 and verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, I'm almost allergic to kind of taking a Bible verse out of context and kind of applying it slapdash to here and now. So I need to tell you a little bit, just briefly, about where this verse comes from. So the book of Isaiah, at least the first section, was written nearly 800 years before Jesus. Its main focus is on warning God's people who have split into two halves, and they've largely wandered from the Lord. And the warning through the prophet Isaiah is to repent and to turn back to the covenantal relationship of God. And God's people ignore these warnings, and they're told they will be, you know, overrun. And that's exactly what happens. First, the Assyrians sweep down into the northern kingdom. And in chapter 39, just a few chapters before this, we're told that the southern part, which includes Jerusalem and the temple and all of that, will be defeated by the Babylonians. So there's a great tension set up. How can God be faithful to his promises if he's letting his people be overrun and carried off to foreign lands? The following chapters from chapter 39 explain. First, God is holy. What is happening is the result of people's sin and their refusal to turn back to God. Second, God is sovereign over the affairs of the world. He allows the Babylonians their moment of triumph, but they in turn will face judgment for their sinful rejection of God's right place in their lives. And thirdly, and this is where this verse fits in this morning, God promises his people there will be a time of gathering back to himself in repentance, delight, and renewal. And the pattern for this, the kind of example, is the Exodus story from God's people leaving Egypt when they were freed from slavery dramatically by God, led by Moses. It's the great saving event in the Old Testament for God's people to look back on and to remember the power of God's character. But then intriguingly, he says in the preceding verse to this one, remember not the former things. Don't keep going back. Why? Well, because I am doing a new thing. So that's our context. So it's that powerful reminder of the character of God who's doing a new thing. Now, folks, we have the benefit of looking back on all this, not looking forward and wondering what it all means. We know that the world-changing event that Isaiah and other Old Testament prophets talked about and looked forward to is the coming of God himself, entering into his creation, Emmanuel, God with us. He came in the form of a baby, born in a Bethlehem backwater. But it just so happens that this baby is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he changes the world through the power of his indestructible life. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? But this is no history lesson. Aslan is on the move, and God is still at work in his world today, right? Right? Yeah, good. So, as we get cracking on a new year, maybe now is the time to perhaps drop some unhelpful habits and commit to some new habits that will shape us well, plug us into the God who is doing a new thing. So, with almost no graphic design time expense spent, we're going to think about a few inputs and we're going to think about a few outputs. I'm just going to repeat what I said 5 minutes ago. The first Sunday in the new year seems like a great time to plug ourselves back into the transformative power of God's word, his spirit, his body on earth, that is the worldwide church and the future hope of Jesus' return. Now, why am I repeating myself? I haven't got my notes out of order. Why am I laboring the point? Well, what I just said there is kind of a view of the world that is shaped by a Christian worldview. And my question this morning is, where else do you hear that message? The wider world of most music, most movies, most media are shaped not by a Christian worldview, but the secular one. God rarely gets a look in. I was flipping through the paper this morning, looking for mentions of Jesus. Not a single one in the big broadsheet. Nothing in the kind of culture section. Nothing in the kind of the little glossy magazine. There's a feature about Robert De Niro opening some high-end hotel in somewhere in the tropics. Not a single mention of Jesus. There was one mention of Jesus in the sports section. Gabriel Jesus missed a shot for Arsenal. It ended up being 1-1. Literally, in the whole of the big, I don't know how many tens of thousands of words are in the weekend supplement for a paper, not a single mention of Jesus. So, this first week in 2025, I want to ask you, what inputs are you open to where God can speak to you? Where he can encourage you? Where he can maybe challenge you where that's needed? And to get you to look up. Now, you might be saying, well, I'm here, right? Like, the church gathering is a pretty good input. And yes, for sure. And I hope for a long time to come, we're going to be a faith community that encourages and builds up our faith in the goodness of God. But if I put it in food terms, imagine you came around to my house for Sunday lunch, and I, or let's be more realistic, Katie, served you up an amazing meal. And then I said, right, that's it. I expect you now to be nourished from that meal for the whole week. You'd be looking at me thinking, what, no breakfast? No second breakfast? Etc. Yeah, doesn't work, does it? So that question again, what habit can you pick up to start off this new year well? What about your Bible reading? I've done the kind of reading through the Bible in a year quite a few times. Full confession, I never managed it in a year. It took me like a year and two and a bit months. But it's a great thing to do to get the whole sweep of the big story of God over a period of time. Lectio 365, it's an app on your phone. You get a couple of verses a day as a really nice reflective prayer time. That's really helpful. What about meeting with a friend to dig into the book of the Bible together? Do something where you're getting God's word inputting regularly into your life. Okay, let me move on. We're going to think about prayer. So imagine if we spent 10% of our time in prayer that we do on social media. What might the Lord do in our midst? Our God can solve problems we can't even begin to comprehend. He's able. We should cry out to him. Seriously, next time you look at your screen time use, I have an iPhone, you get a little update on a Monday morning, here's how much of a schmuck you were this week, like hour by hour. It's useful to see how much time goes into that, right? But imagine, or maybe let me rephrase the question, what would you be missing out if you spent 10% of that screen time on social media in prayer? What could that look like? How can you set aside time for prayer regularly? What's the best time in the day for you to pray? If I try and pray late at night, it doesn't work. My eyes are heavy, falling asleep. What keeps you from prayer? What are the distractions, the many things that draw us away? And who could you pray for specifically this year? Okay, moving on. I'm going to get a little bit heavy for a minute. I'm going to talk about sin. I am aware this is a really weird list now for the inputs, right? But bear with me, okay? So we've talked about Bible reading and prayer. We are going to talk about sin, but it probably is an input, isn't it? But a less healthy one. So the world, the flesh, the devil, they seek to harden our hearts by fostering unbelief in God's goodness. And unbelief can well up into distraction and idolatry, and that can lead to disobedience. In the words of John Calvin, the heart is a constant or perpetual idol-making factory. It's a great phrase. It's just so easy to have a million and one things in the way of God. Or maybe for you, it's like the one big thing. And over time, we can become dull to the new thing that God is doing or seeking to do in our lives. We can fail to perceive it. Okay, so a couple of questions for reflection. What sin are you struggling with on a regular basis? What methods, prayer, confession, accountability, could you employ to help fight that sin in your life? I've mentioned it already, but how would you describe your media use? It's not inherently sinful. Of course, it can be good. There's lots of creative ways we can use online and regular media. But it can keep us from face-to-face relationships. A lot of time on social media can foster discontent, and it can eat away at time that, let's be honest, can be spent doing better things. This first week of the new year, how would you describe your affection towards God? Are you warm, open, vibrant, joyful? Are you a little more indifferent, colder? Are you perhaps disappointed? Are you angry? Guys, I'm not saying any of this from a position of moral superiority, right? If you could look into my internal world, you'd probably be pretty disgusted. What I'm doing on this first Sunday is to help all of us as a church be less like a museum of the saints, where we all pretend to be perfect, and more like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, which starts with the brutal honesty of, hi, I'm such and such, Matt, and I'm an alcoholic. Everyone goes around in the circle. Do you know what happens next? No one responds with revulsion. No one picks up a shoe and starts hitting him with it. Everyone else in the group would say, hi, Matt, nice to meet you, welcome. And then the circle moves on, welcoming the next person. When the worldwide church is known as the best place for a messy sinner like me or you to receive a warm, encouraging welcome and a loving, healthy pointer to God's kindness that leads to repentance, Romans 2:4, well, when that happens, then I think we're going to see God doing a new thing and rivers springing up in the desert of our wider culture. That's my hope for our church here, and actually for every church, regardless of background, style, affiliation, or tribe. Okay, I'm going to come into land by getting us to think a little bit about our outputs. We've been thinking about inputs, the things we're receiving, but we should also think about how we kind of put that into practice. Layla got a remote control car for Christmas. She had some money, so we went to the toy shop. It's a cool car. And if it wasn't pouring with rain, I would have got her to bring it today. If you can imagine a remote control car and the engine's going and you press the button and the wheels are spinning, like that, right? Now, if you're holding that up, it's not going to go anywhere. The engine's fine, the batteries are fine, the wheels are spinning, grand. But it's only when you put it down and you get the rubber hitting the road and you get some traction, then you get the output of the car moving. So we need to put our faith into action for it to do something, right? We've been given a purpose, a mission, all of us. The Great Commission is for all believers. Go and make disciples, Jesus says. We're also told to use our unique gifts to serve the church, Romans 12. And every believer has good works which God has prepared for them in advance to do, Ephesians 2. So, how can you use your gifts to serve the church? Now, I say that with caution because I know full well, looking out in the room, many of you are using a ton of your time and energy for your gifts. So the question for you might not be, what more can I do, but what do I need to recommit to? And sometimes it's, what do I need to stop doing? A season of doing less, allowing rest and recovery, recuperation, but also allowing others to step into that role. So I'm not using this as a stick to beat you with, but if you're currently regularly involved and plugged into to our church life, yeah, what are the opportunities to serve? Who could you seek to share life and faith with this year? Sharing life together is more than just kind of shoehorning Jesus in whenever you get a chance. It's about serving and loving and walking alongside. We have an Alpha course starting January 23rd, a few weeks away, and it is primarily designed as a space for those who do not yet believe, who would not yet call themselves Christian. And if you're here today and that's you, you're so welcome. We're glad you're here. Do come on Alpha and find out more about this amazing guy, Jesus. For those who are slightly older in the faith, who can you disciple in faith this year? Some of you are already plugged into mentoring in our Growing Leaders course, which is amazing. But something really valuable happens when an older Christian spends time journeying with a younger Christian, younger believer. Even if it's just having a good conversation over coffee and saying, what does your faith life look like? And maybe more broadly, in what ways can you be a loving neighbor to your community at home or in your workplace? Okay, wrapping up then. As we come into the new year, we can be hopeful for change, not because of our own sort of New Year's resolution style effort. I'm going to do 50 sit-ups every day, have a ripped six-pack. I'm probably not. I'm not. Maybe five. We can be hopeful for change, not out of our own effort, but because God's power is sufficient in our weakness. His power fuels our efforts, and his promises bear fruit in our lives. So let's look with hope to what God is doing in our midst, and he will do in our midst this year. We may well be surprised by rivers of life flowing where there was previously desert. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are, the creator, the sustainer of the world. You sent your Son into your created world to redeem and restore and renew it, and to redeem and restore and renew each of us. We thank you that you are the Ancient of Days, that you have always existed, and yet you are doing a new thing. Through the work of your word, your spirit, your church in this place, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts afresh to perceive what you are doing in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for that you are at work today and that we get to participate in your kingdom building work. We pray for your strengthening and your equipping and renewing as we seek to partner with you in our schools, our colleges, our workplaces, our homes, and our local communities. In your name and for your glory, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.